Okay, I was talking about our children, and as they get older, they start helping and learning to work, and the older ones start leaving for high school and coming back in the summer. After being away 9 months, I used to be so happy to see them. I think I was pretty close to them, and Johnson never did harsh discipline either. He talked with them. He would talk with them and telling them things that is wrong and right. He talked with them a lot, and I was the one that did the, sometimes I get really frustrated and did some shouting, and I think it wasn't, when I think back now, I think it wasn't that bad. And most of our children are real close to us, and they know we love them so much and everything. And I think we work like, if we have problems in the family, everybody work together now. Like, you know, everybody gets together and talk about it and help each other if somebody needs help. And then they start going away to high school. They've all finished high school. The youngest one is in 11th grade this year, and he does pretty good, and he's got one more year. And they go to high school away from home. At first, we really miss them a lot, but that's what they want to do. They want to stay away. I mean, they don't want to stay away from home, but what they want was education.
Mm-hmm.
They really wanted education. And we had lots of fun with them when they were little, too. Sometimes they get into mischief, and sometimes not too bad. I used to worry a lot. Sometimes I go to bed early. I'm tired. In the summertime, you know, it's bright all night. Then I would wake up and get up and count my kids, and some of them are out. Then a lot of time I dress up and check around for them. And sometimes they're little ways. One time I woke up and they're not home. There was two or three little boys. They must have been in like 6, 7, 8. Then I went out. It was August and it was really foggy. And I started wondering, I wonder where they are. I ran to the bank. I looked, and our boat is there. And I walked down the village, see if they're playing someplace, and they're not around. And I walked back up the village again, and listened. And I could hear them talking way back someplace, and it's really foggy. And I was so frightened. I don't know what happened to them. Then this is unusual. They usually obey me and go to bed when time to go to bed. And we didn't have hard time putting them to bed on time. They go to bed in the evening. We visit, and then they play games. Sometimes I play games with them. Then they always go to bed early and get up and pretty early too. Then that time here, they finally came back and all soaked in wet, but they were happy. I said, "Where have you been?" They say, "They were back chasing little ducks in the in the lake where there's shallow water, but they didn't get any. They were just trying to catch them, and they got so tired, and they didn't know it was around 3 o'clock in the morning." And I told them, "Never do that again. They might fall in the water, or they might just get lost when it's foggy. I don't know how they come back." Or they came to the river someplace way up, and then they followed the river down. That's how they came home. It was foggy. And they were with other children, too, about the same age.
Uh-huh.
Things like that. And then they go swimming, too. See, I don't know how to swim. And they used to go swimming. And I worry about them when they're out swimming. Sometimes I just had a baby and I can't look for them and I worry. One time, my oldest son fell in the water and he was floating down, and his cousin grabbed him out, and I got even more frightened. They told me about it later. Mm-hmm. And I forbid them to swim where there's no adults. And I don't know how they make it today. They used to run away and swim anyway.
It sounds like they did all the things that kids do.
Mm-hmm. And one time I came to Fairbanks, and my two daughters were going to high school over here, and their foster parents bring them to see me. I was on my way, I think, out to Minnesota with my daughter for surgery, and their foster parents bring them to see me, and we were sitting and visiting and talking, and one of them asked me, "How did you discipline your children when you talk so softly?" And I didn't even know then. I started thinking. Then I said, "I guess it wasn't that bad because I talk loud sometimes, but most of the time I remember I talk the way I'm talking now." But I don't know how. I couldn't answer that question. I think about it. I think it's because I paid a lot of attention to them.
Mm-hmm.
24 hours a day. Only when we're sleeping, I'm not watching what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Until they grow up. You know, I think I cared. That's why.
Mm-hmm. You were in touch with them.
In touch with them all day long. Make sure they had enough to eat. And we used to try to, see, Johnson would get beaver meat, caribou meat, moose meat, and we would do some fishing. And then when we make little money, we didn't have no snow machine. We didn't have to buy gas. We had no electricity. We didn't have to pay electric bill. We had no telephone. We didn't have to pay for that. And we didn't have to pay rent in our little house. It was small, but it was warm, and we tried to keep it as clean as we could. And then we always had enough food for them. We used to buy enough staples, and then we had little garden, and we picked berries, and we start buying canned vegetable because the priest and his wife, who was an RN, said it is important they eat vegetables too, besides just the bread
mm-hmm.
family, you know, mm-hmm. the bread family and meat, that's all. So we used to bake bread and bake cake on birthdays. I was kind of tired of birthdays. I was a little bit tired of birthdays after how many years? You know how it is.
The family, you must have celebrated a lot of them.
Yeah, and bake cake from scratch on every birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And we try not to let them have too much sweets. And I found out what they used to do is, I saw these two little frying pans and I bought them. They were so cute. Little tin frying pans mm-hmm. they used to have, like those old style.
Uh-huh.
Then I used them for cooking small pancakes for them, or just frying fat or bacon or something, or eggs. Once in a great while we have eggs. And while I was working in the store, I found, years later, I found out what they used those two little frying pans for was to make sugar candy.
Oh.
And they say when they think I'm coming home, they would toss the frying pan on top of the house. And all that time, I never miss it, and I never did find out. Then next time I'm out, they bring it in and wash it, and all the trace of sugar is out of it.
Ah.
And I thought they weren't eating, but they did pretty good. The older ones had better teeth than the younger ones. Yeah, we really try to give them good diet. But the doctor found out that we had kind of weak children. They don't know why it was like that. Every one of them have heart murmur.
Mm.
And there was the one with heart defect. I didn't do anything to let her have heart defect.
Mm-hmm.
But I had hay fever before 3 months was up. Mm-hmm. That could have done it,
mm-hmm.
they think. Mm-hmm. And
so she had to go, you said she had to go to Minnesota for mm-hmm. surgery. Was that the first time or the second time?
See, I took her out in 1970 for, they call it a bailout. Bailout, that's, they did some connections to her right arm artery.
Mm-hmm.
Then when her heart pumps blood to her right arm, it goes to her lung. They mm-hmm. connect it to her lung.
Mm-hmm.
That way she gets pink.
Mm-hmm.
She just got pink. And then the next 5 years, the same doctor, same hospital, they did open heart surgery and they closed, one valve was narrowed outside of her heart because of not being used.
Mm-hmm.
So they put a plastic patch on that. She was almost 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then even working with medicine all those years, I forgot the medical words for the heart. Anyway, the divider inside of the heart had a hole too, so they mm-hmm. patched it.
Mm-hmm.
So she's 20 years old now and she does pretty good.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. neat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Johnson, maybe one of the things that we should talk about before we finish up today is a little bit about snow machines and what happened when people started using snow machines instead of dogs. Can you describe that time and talk a little bit about what happened?
Yeah, okay. I think the snow machine part was really easier than when we had dogs.
Oh, boy.
It really cost money, you know, the snow machine part too, but the dogs was, you have to feed them all summer long, and the man's really didn't stay home that much in summertime, so they always be the family, the kids who could help, you know, always take care of dogs with their mother, you know, they mm-hmm. take care of dogs all summer. And when snow machine come out, that was a really big thing. Everybody didn't have snow machine the first time, but there were few people had snow machine. And those people, they helped a lot of people with it the first time.
Mm. Do you remember about what year that was?
This was around 60. 60 what? 64 or 63? Somewhere around the first snow machine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, somewhere around the first snow machine. There was two snow machines. One Skew and one Claire's. One was Simon Nett at the Skew, and the other one was William.
Mm-hmm.
And those people had snow machine the first year and partly the next year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they helped a lot of people with it. William did the most, I think. People started buying wood from him. He was all wood for people.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of make it easy for us, for all of us.
Sure.
Even me and Bertha was buying wood from him.
Uh-huh.
That we would have big wood pile in no time. We were still having dogs, and our dogs, we haul wood with them.
Mm-hmm. How did the dogs react to the noise of the snow machine?
I guess they don't like it. We started getting into a snow machine in 68, I think we got our first snow machine.
Uh-huh.
69.
Oh, 69.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
We got our first snow machine.
And we buy Skidoo skidoo yet. We've never changed our style of snow machines in
69. It's right for me, just the kind of laughing. I don't want no big snow machine. It's really, snow machine is not, it's not really safe to have, you know, but it's really easier than that.
Mm-hmm.
After you work all day, you don't have to work on snow machine. Mm-hmm. If it's running.
Yeah.
But when there's a lot of times that I used to want our dogs back. When it's snowing out in camp and no trail, you could still travel, you know, easier with snow machine, but you can't follow the trail because of white out, you know. You can't see the trail. When you have dogs, you travel anytime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get stuck as long as the dogs can travel through the snow if it's not too deep. They always take us home anytime.
You mean the dogs know the trail?
They know the trail.
Oh, I see.
Even if 1 year later, the same leader or the other leaders, you know, if we're coming back on the trail what we used the year before,
mm-hmm.
even when we come out in the lake could be about maybe a mile or half mile long.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't have to tell that leader anything.
I've noticed that.
Yeah, he might make a kind of crooked trail, you know, on the lake, but when you get to the end of that lake, he knows just where that trail go up.
Yeah.
Even that's 1 year ago. Yeah. Grass, everything grow on those trails. But the leaders, they follow that trail all the way. And snow machine, if you lose the trail, you can't find it again.
The snow machine doesn't find it for you.
yeah, right. So there's a lot of time we always want our dogs, but there's no way.
Yeah.
The snow machine, when we had dogs, that's all, you know, it takes time to pile up wood. It takes about a week or more to pile up wood because all we do one day is cut wood, cut the wood and pile it. And start hauling it. Sometimes I used to haul about 10 load of wood, I guess, for before trapping beaver. That's in February, March, January.
Mm-hmm.
Right after New Year, sometime during Christmas, between Christmas and New Year, I used to haul wood too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to trap beaver.
Mm-hmm.
Pile of wood, it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
But after snow machine, it was so much easier. Because we have headlight on them, chainsaw.
Uh-huh.
I used to even start early in the morning, dark yet.
Yeah.
Cut up wood and haul wood, maybe 1 or 2 days to saw and go trap and deal with it.
Sure.
So it was much easier.
Mm.
A lot of times I wish we had dogs. One week, when it snow, and snow machine, a couple of times, snow machine broke down with me, I have to walk home. But there's a lot of people that get more use out of the snow machine than me. I think they have more broke down, they walk long ways. But there's so much snow machine now, they help each other to
do.
And somebody never come back at certain time, even any time in the night, people always leave, look for each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that really, you really work for each other, people around home.
That's important, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they're buying gas.
Yeah, buying gas is really, sometimes it's hard to buy gas because it's so high, gas is so high, and there's no money.
Yeah, how much is gas in Allakaket now?
I think it's $3 a gallon now.
Wow.
It was $3 long ago. It go up and down.
Yeah. So
it all depends who you're buying it from. Sometimes it's $180 or $85 to buy 50 gallons.
Mm-hmm.
And then they buy from different people, different places, then it's $140-something.
Mm-hmm.
It's $3 a gallon is the cheapest.
Wow.
For years now.
Yeah, right. over $3 a gallon for a long time now.
Mm-hmm.
It's all depends on the purchase and all depends on where they buy the gas from. What, mm-hmm. what is the charter, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If they have to charter a plane for the gas.
I suppose if it comes in on a big load in the summer, when then it's not as expensive as if they have to fly it in on a smaller charter another time of year.
Yeah. That's all. Snow machine is good to have, but it costs money.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's really helpful, and I'm sure that'll be interesting to people too.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I think when there was dogs, kids have some responsibility to always cook for them, feed them, just give them something to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then even adults, but after they have snow machine, they have less things to do.
Mm-hmm.
You work so fast in this little while.
And then people have more leisure time,
mm-hmm.
I think, mm-hmm. which is not too good in some time.
Yeah. Johnson, if you were to look back from when you were a child and to when you were a young man, what would you say are the biggest changes that have taken place in men's life, in a man's life, in your life?
My God. I think from a boy to going to be what? Man's work, you know,
mm-hmm.
trying to make a living mm-hmm. for yourself. That's a really big change for me, really.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather who raised me was old, and when I would stay with people too much, you know, all the time, or away from my brother sometimes. So it was kind of a big change for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, after to go out to hunt, my grandfather would go with me so far, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He would tell me where to go and everything. And I kind of depending on myself, whether I can wait for nobody to do the work for me no
mm-hmm.
more.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of, it's kind of hard to.
What she want to know is what kind of changes there is, like when you was young to now. Is it, what do you want to know, is it easy?
That too, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you were to compare the life of a man when you were a boy and the life of a man now,
I can't understand it.
Let's see, how do we explain it?
You guys talking my language, so I
don't
understand.
I have to learn. Mm-hmm. Bertha, do you understand what I'm trying
yes,
to ask? Maybe you can explain it.
What she want to know is, when you were a little boy, what kind of life a man has, you know, how hard they have to work and all that. And then now, those men, what they do now.
What are the biggest changes?
I can't understand everything, just get blank with me now.
Okay,
then.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
I can't understand from little boy to old man. I don't know what that means. Yeah, okay, the changes from when I was growing to today. I think that people have more easy time today than when I was growing up, because
mm-hmm.
when I was young there was school, but I didn't go to school and didn't try to learn the right way, like going to school to get a job someplace. And today, those kids, our kids, they're grown up now and they go to school and they work their way up to make a living. Go to school and work now and then they learn different kind of lot of different kind of work. I don't know what you would call that. I think Bertha could tell you.
Mm-hmm. Different jobs.
Yeah, different jobs, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's hard, I think, you know, but it's easy for them if they know how to work.
Mm-hmm.
With their education, you know, their school education, everything. Mm-hmm. Okay, anything more?
Just one more question, sort of along the same lines. Do you think it was easier to grow up when you were a boy than it is now?
I think it was too hard when I was growing up.
It's easier now then?
Yeah, it's easier now.
Too easy.
Too easy, really.
How do you mean?
Because the young people, they get jobs. Whenever they get jobs, you know, they get good pay and everything. They make fast money.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you could go to village to village with your money if they make money.
Mm-hmm.
And they travel around lots. When I was growing up, you know, there was nothing. We can't go no place because no money. And we don't have no job. And with dog team, if there's trail, that's how you could go to next village.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the only way.
Mm-hmm.
Only time we go to next village was huge for this. About 70 some miles from Malakakit with dog team.
Mm-hmm.
Once a year.
Mm-hmm.
In April, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Today they can just go right through with snow machine all over.
Yeah. Bertha, I'd like to ask you a similar sort of question. What do you think are the big changes that have taken place in women's lives since you were a child?
Okay, in women's life, I think, like if my mother and my dad, my mother would be, that was in the 1930s, my mother would be at home and then not earning much money, but then making living out of the land. And then today women, most women work for wages and they don't, I think they don't enjoy much of the outdoor life. That's one change. And, another change is drinking. When we were little, people drink. That's drinking alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Very little. They used to make homebrew and they'd drink it. They enjoy it. Looks like they had lots of fun. I don't think they had problems with it because it don't last long. And then today, not everybody, but we had a drinking problem too. That just a few years ago. And that's a big change. You make lots of money and you can buy all kinds of alcohol. And then kids get to see their parents drinking. That was in our family. Then my family, which was about maybe 3 or 4 times a year. And then at certain time when we were, that's one big change too.
Mm-hmm.
My kids see different, you know, they see us drinking. But years ago, it was just once in a great while. That's one of the changes is drinking, you know, drinking problem.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a problem when we were little.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a problem now today. That's one change. And transportation changed too, because there's more airplanes and people have money to travel now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And years ago, they have to travel only by dog team. Or paddling, or walk.
Mm-hmm.
We see that change. No, hardly anybody go to Fairbanks years ago. And another change is, I think younger people today have more freedom, because when you're going to school, you have to, they have not freedom, but more easy life. Because when you're going to school, you're not working physically, but you're working with your mind a lot. And then you're not doing physical work, which is good for today. And years ago, the work was physical, but their mind was okay because it's not working that hard all the time. They don't have to think too hard to work. Even it was hard time. Times were hard, but when we look back, they were good times because we didn't know much about violent deaths or anything.
Mm.
Violent deaths is there's a lot of violent deaths nowadays, you know,
mm-hmm.
all over.
Mm-hmm.
All over the world, not mm-hmm. only around where we grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And in our time, we didn't know anything about violent deaths. We know people were dying, but they were dying with sicknesses.
Mm-hmm.
That's one big change, too.
Mm-hmm.
And more changes are, too, is people don't wash clothes by hand anymore, and they use washers or washeteria. Laundromat,
mm-hmm.
and people don't row or paddle. They just run a motor and go wherever they want to. But a lot of their money goes to, you have to have money to use those things though, like snow machine,
mm-hmm.
all the machinery,
mm-hmm.
and junk accumulate.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, we had just our log cabin and our few clothing. Enough pots and pans and dishes, just enough to get by. Just very little. I think we could have put all our one family's dishes and pots and pans in a real small box, maybe a gasoline box, what
mm-hmm.
they used to have.
Mm-hmm.
And today you have a lot of belongings. In our backyard is just, there's old motors, old snow machines, old snow machine frames, barrels, and gas cans, and just about all kinds of junk. That's the change too.
Mm-hmm.
When we were growing up, the village was just houses, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And behind the house would be a cache,
mm-hmm.
and few stumps for dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And few little dog houses, sometimes no dog houses because they travel a lot, they didn't need them.
Mm-hmm.
And, but you didn't see old iron things like snow machine
mm-hmm.
or things. That's a change.
Mm-hmm.
Right now you see all kinds of junk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But years ago it was just clean.
Mm-hmm. People need to keep some of those things for parts sometimes, but I know
yeah.
what you mean.
Yeah, they do keep them for parts,
uh-huh.
but it just don't look too good sometimes.
Yeah.
Mm. People is used to that though, but from when I was small, there was no such thing as that.
Mm. Well, that's really good. I think maybe about the only thing we really need to do now is maybe turn this off and get out the map and then turn it back on again and locate some
okay.
of those sites.
Okay. I mean, you know, where we stayed long ago in winter time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when we winter, when I was small and we winter in No Lightning.
Put X.
And then.
Potential number eight.
Uh-huh. And
okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, now No Lightning will label Birth of Moses
mm-hmm.
1, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that, say that name for me again, would you please?
No Lightning.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
It's good to say the name
yeah,
twice.
Okay. And then another place where. When I was small, we had winter camp with Billy Bergman's family. They call it Hutakaten.
Mm-hmm.
That's right here. And
okay. And that's
Hutakaten.
And that will be Birth of Moses
yeah.
too.
Mm-hmm. And the place that I grow up mostly, where I call Steamboat, is where my grandparents stayed. Yeah, right here. I think I didn't talk about it that time. Mm-hmm. I have 80 acres allotment there in Steamboat. That's that's right here.
It's on the
Right here.
Okay. And is that on the outside of the curve?
It's inside right there.
Oh,
it's
inside.
On the side right there. Okay. Right here. That's right here it is.
Okay.
You have to erase it.
Well, that's okay.
There's an old boat across here, old steamboat.
Okay.
It's an historic site, I guess they call it now.
Okay.
And we can't do nothing with it.
And now, is the steamboat right there where we've marked the X? Or?
The steamboat is across the river, from it.
Okay.
And this is my 80-acre allotment.
Uh-huh. Would you mark where the steamboat is?
It's right here across here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And,
okay.
And there's where I call our winter camp Dupkorak.
Uh-huh.
That's Oscar's cabin, they call
okay.
it. That's another place.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Since that's labeled Oscar's cabin, I won't put another number next
okay.
to it. But would you say the name for that again?
Dupkorak.
Dupkorak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
It's called Oscar's cabin. That's my dad's cabin.
Uh-huh.
And
now, you both mentioned blackjack. Is this the
mm-hmm.
same place that
yes.
you're talking about
mm-hmm.
when you say
that's
blackjack?
Okay. Uh-huh. That's where we had spring camp before.
Okay.
Too. And summer camp we have, and it's not in this.
It's in different.
Is it up? Mm-hmm. Okay, here's
mm-hmm.
further up
the
Latin River.
Okay. Sinyalik. We used to have fish camp. My mother used to have fish camp in Sinyalik.
Here's a Latin river right here.
Mm. Okay, I was looking at the wrong one. Right here. Here's the Sinyalik Creek.
Uh-huh.
And her fish camp used to be right here. And that's where they used to pick a lot of berries and roots and fishing.
Good.
That's where.
That'll be
Bertha
Moses 4.
Mm-hmm.
I like to use people's initials, and then I know who told me which
mm-hmm.
places, and I know which
yeah.
tape that would be on.
Okay. And during the summer, that's where they stay, Sinyalik.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then in the fall time, they usually go to further up the river to pile up fish to keep for all winter. I think I mentioned that before, right?
Mm, right.
Mm-hmm. In the fall time, they go up. Further up to fishing. That would be in the portage
mm-hmm.
where they start up Kobuk, start over to Kobuk.
Uh-huh.
That's where my dad used to have a fish cast. And that's
okay.
right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, that's where they used to go to fishing.
Okay.
Do the seining for frozen fish.
Okay.
Say the name.
And that's Bertha Moses 5. And can you say the name?
Nabrarulik. You know, that portage is little above Nabrarulik.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's in Nabrarulik.
Mm-hmm.
It's not right in the same place in the portage, but it's close enough to
mm-hmm.
to know where it is.
Mm-hmm. Where is the portage? Where did that start?
It started right here over toward Kobuk River.
Okay, so it went this way?
Yeah, it went this way over through, right through Noyadok Lake.
Okay, so
mm-hmm.
it went almost due west.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it go to Noyadok Lake, and from Noyadok Lake they come to Kobuk River and then go on down to the villages, Kobuk Village
right.
and Sumnak.
Noyadok Lake.
Yeah, you
I don't think I have the next one up above it. Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be down.
Yeah, it will be way down. Uh-huh.
Way down.
Uh-huh. It's. Yes. I don't
first
think.
Where's the up?
Here's Kobuk, right here. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There's Kobuk River.
Yeah. See Noyadok.
Yeah.
And you go over to
yeah.
Kobuk. See
uh-huh.
right there. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they follow. Is it this valley here that you follow?
Yeah, that's
uh-huh, there.
Okay.
Yeah. From right here, you go right through here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm gonna put a sort of dashed line
yeah.
here,
mm-hmm.
so we know which valley you follow
yeah.
to the Kobuk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
That's neat to know that
mm-hmm.
that portage route. How did how did that go? Do you know, did it go around this big ridge here or across
Yeah,
it?
This is hill right here. Uh-huh. You kind of go around this hill.
Wait, I wouldn't know. Johnson, yeah.
Johnson, can you draw a dashed line there?
Dashed line to invite the follow the cave.
I got to really see the map on
let's
this
turn
side.
Let's turn the map around a little bit.
Dashed line.
Maybe that'll be easier if we turn the map.
Chris, who got that?
Yeah. There's police bar right here. Police bar. Shivanaka.
Really?
Yeah, see?
That's
Shivanaka. See this police bar in here. See? See that little quick blue? This police bar and this bear cam. Shivanaka. And this, that, you know, that big Buddhist, the Korea work in. And from here, this lower end, all over.
Oh, that's weird. That's not Navarro Lick then.
Well, this right through here, see this?
Navarro Lick is between the two hills.
No, it's way down. It's below Savannah.
We
got mixed up.
Okay, so what's the name for Birth of Moses 5, this mark?
Kogluret.
Okay.
Kogluret.
And where are the other two places you just named?
Nabagayarulik would be where then?
Right there.
Okay.
That's number 6, Nabagayarulik. That's where I made mistake. I have to make correction. This is where my dad piled fish for winter.
Okay.
Number 6.
Good.
Okay.
And did this place between the two hills here, did that have a name too?
I've never gone that far up.
I go
this far up, but
not
further than that.
Okay.
I go over this way, but not that far.
Okay, now the Kubak party starting here. I see now it will go around this hill. And we'll go over the hill in here. And over to where's Hogrub?
She's a market.
Hogrub right now.
She's a market.
Go right ahead and mark on the map. It's fine.
I think I'm going too high, but that's why I just push all around this. And across.
It'll give us at least a general idea of how people went. Okay. And then in the winter, would you go across the lake?
Yeah, across the lake. Okay, that's.
Oh, very good. Okay. I'm going to make these marks just a little bit darker here so I can see them. But this place would be essentially the sort of starting place?
Yeah, starting. You could see the trail yet today.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah, you could see the trail. It's so deep, you know.
Johnson went through there 2 years ago over to Kobuk. To Kobuk, to here. He went this far and went back.
By snow machine?
By snow machine.
2 years ago.
Very good. Okay.